Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Easter Sunday, March 4th, 2021, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Resurrection Sunday, and welcome to this special edition of Master Your Mindset. Well, you know what day it is? It's the day a couple billion of us plus around the world who believe and confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're celebrating that fact today. Yeah, that's what we are doing. And, you know, I thought that today was a great day to talk about it because those of us who have come a mighty long way probably understand better than some that it's kind of hard to keep quiet when you know what you know about Jesus. So, you know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I have plenty to say and plenty to tell. And again, today is a great day to do it. Well, I know not everybody believes, and I know that what we believe is a mystery to some and complete madness to others. I get it. And I know that there are many who say there's no God and who don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, only another prophet. Well, my thoughts today, let's just make it real clear, my thoughts today are not to convince you of anything or to persuade you in any particular direction, because fortunately, all of us are free to accept and believe whatever we choose. So please know that. I just felt, truly just felt very compelled today to make it unmistakably known that I chose Jesus. Today, my radio BFF joins me, the superstar, Cassandra McShepherd, to talk about this, and I know that it's going to be both an insightful and enlightening conversation about our faith. So welcome, Cassandra.
Silver, I told you you should put that R on a loop. That way you don't have to lose your breath while you're saying R. Thank you for having me. It's truly a glorious day, period, and an extraordinary day to talk about what we're going to be talking about.
Absolutely, it is, and I'm really excited. They keep saying this is the first holiday that's been, you know, back open since the pandemic, and maybe that's part of my excitement. I did attend service yesterday, and so I'm thrilled that in many ways it looks like we're rising above and getting past this thing. Just depends on which TV station you listen to. It's kind of confusing, but anyway, that's my belief. That's where I'm staying on it, that we are getting past this. We really are. Yeah. Well, you know, I want to start with this by just, you know, not a point by point type of reflection on my life, but the other day I read something so very interesting in my devotion, and I'll share which one I read just in case anybody wants to pick it up. I read a deeply spiritual devotional, and I'm saying that because some days some of that stuff is so rough in there to read, you just don't want to even know how some people got through some stuff until you're in that same place and you realize you felt like that too. But it's called Streams in the Desert, and I think that's pretty clear in itself that, you know, we have desert times, and it's just a wonderful devotional that you can grow in your faith as you read. It's one of them that I read daily. But something jumped out at me the other day that said, "Are you not a God-kept wonder?" And I thought, yes, indeed, I am. I don't know that it could have summed up my life any better. A God-kept wonder. And I say that to say I've been through a lot. I mean, it started as a child. I mean, I've had some incredibly hard experiences, challenges, tragedies, awfulness, wildernesses, grief. I think I have, you know, I haven't experienced it all, but I've certainly been through enough that you find that you get to a point like it says, I really do feel it's a wonder that I'm still here and that I'm still alive. That's the first thing I'd like to get across to anybody who may have thought that what we were doing, because of the way I promoted this show, that we would be touting about blessings and things like that. And that's hardly what I had in mind. My biggest blessing is truly to me that I have survived. And I mean that from the deepest part of my heart and spirit. It's incredible to me that I'm still here, that I still have the right mind, that I still have the strength, anything and everything that it would take to still be alive and be well. That's the blessing to me. And wrapped up in that are all kinds of gratitude and thankfulness. I truly, truly feel that way. So I wanted to say that as we wander into this conversation, because I think it's important for us to understand when we talk about faith and we talk about Jesus, what we're really looking at, because I know that a lot of people really just depend on the material and the manifestations of certain things to call your life blessed, but that is just a portion of it. It's a real portion. It's a good portion. It's an awesome portion of life and what faith can produce. But no, and I'm sure many people do, coming through stuff is truly, I consider a miracle. So I wanted to say that, Cassandra, if you'd like to reflect on that as well. I have some things that we are going to kind of, you know, follow to talk about, but I know that you are triumphant as well. You're God's girl for sure.
Yes, I am, Silver, but in large part because I recognize it, we're all God's children. I was thinking about what you said in your opening about many people don't believe. Many people do believe in the material, and that's a cute concept until that fails. It is written that all material things will pass. And if that is where you place your faith, then what? It's interesting. Like you say, I am certainly not a preacher. Lord knows. I am not. And don't really ever want to be considered one. I just share what I know. And I, like you, have come through enough to know that it was not by my ingenuity, not by my intelligence, nor my might or my will. I have truly been blessed through some things. My life is the kind of showing that just does not make sense. By the law of averages or the way that things should happen, it just does not make sense. And I say all the time, I'm not special. I'm not special. We are all loved and beloved of God. I just walk in that knowledge, and I lean on that. I count on that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I know, being a close sister and friend, how true that is, and I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that he brought us through, and I'm glad we can talk about it today. You know, give him homage. I had to think about how to pronounce it. I hear it so many different ways. We have given him our hearts. But I want to start with something today. My April 1st devotion, I'm going to use that as a reflection for us through three particular topics. Now, I sound like a preacher. Actually, for anybody who doesn't know, a very well-kept secret is that I do have a license in ministry. That was given to me by one of the most prominent pastors, preachers in the nation, and I'm so grateful for that blessing that he entrusted me and trusted God in me enough to license me in ministry. So anyway, with that being said, my April 1st devotional started with a couple of short scriptures, and one of them is, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him," from Job 13 and 15, "and for I know whom I have believed, Second Timothy 1 and 2. It starts with a poem, and I learned of this poem decades ago. It resonated with me so much, and I'm going to read it to everybody to begin our first portion of what we're going to talk about, Cassandra, and that's unwavering faith. I will not doubt, though all my ships at sea come drifting home with broken masts and sails. I will believe the hand which never fails from seeming evil works good for me. And though I weep because those sails are tattered, still I will cry while my best hopes lie shattered. I trust in thee. I will not doubt, though all my prayers returned unanswered from the still white realm above, I will believe it is an all-wise love which has refused these things for which I yearn. And though at times I cannot keep from grieving, yet the pure ardor of my fixed believing undimmed shall burn. I will not doubt though sorrows fall like rain and troubles swarm like bees about a hive. I will believe the heights for which I strive are only reached by anguish and by pain. And though I groan and writhe beneath my crosses, yet I shall see through my severest losses the greater gain. I will not doubt, well anchored in this faith, like some staunch ship, my soul braves every gale, so strong its courage that it will not quail to breast the mighty unknown sea of death. Oh, may I cry, though body parts with spirit, I do not doubt, so listening worlds may hear it with my last breath. That poem is a poem I love. Everything that's in there, I've been through that. I mean, every test of faith that the average person could imagine. I mean, the anguish, the pain, the prayers seemingly not answered. I mean, broken dreams and aspirations. I mean, I've really been through some stuff, and I would like to say, boy, I wish I had never experienced it, but it has done an incredible thing in me, and that I have to say I would not trade for anything. But I wanted to read that as a point one for unwavering faith, because I know that that's where a lot of people struggle with this whole thing, and especially those who don't believe as we do. There's a reality to it that I think gets misunderstood about what it really is. You know, I got my little book where I got some points in it called What is Faith? But faith is an interesting thing. You know that the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, I wanted to bring that in too, because you're probably thinking, what does all this have to do with master your mindset? Well, stay with me, because I'm going to tell you right now.
This is the heart of master your mindset.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. When you look at that scripture that says it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, you look at that word substance, which is a word for stuff, a word for materialistic things, a word for manifestation of whatever you might be believing for, and then evidence. How do you see evidence? How do you see stuff? How do you see material stuff? You see it in your mind. That's where you see it. So faith is conceived in your mind. What you see and believe and all the other things that come against it, discouragement, defeat, all those other things are in your mind as well. They deposit in your spirit and emotions, but they're coming through your mind. So it's important that we do recognize that there is a mastering of the mindset even in our faith. So that's one point under that. Overcoming doubt, which is what that poem that I just read to you is about, it is often a very difficult thing. But if you were listening carefully to what came out of that author's poem, is that no matter what, it's not a matter of you stop believing for a car or stop believing for a home. It's just don't stop believing in what you know. That's what it means. don't stop believing that God is still God. He's everything he said he is. His promises are still true, and they're still real. Many of us will have the tendency to drift from faith because of many of the things that I mentioned about myself, and that's in that poem. The thing is, you have to have unwavering faith. Unwavering faith is the thread that has brought me to this day. It has brought me to, even though there have been burdens and difficulties, it still brought me to the blessing. And so I hope that you can see that, well, I'm sure most of us understand that it's much bigger than obtaining things in life. Faith is a mindset. Faithing becomes a way of life. What would you like to say, Cassandra?
Well, a lot, actually. I think about the poem, and it was lovely, that you read. It reminded me of being lost at sea. And you think about that literally or figuratively, and if you're in it, it could feel very real. But you're out there, the winds are blowing, the water's crashing, and all you've got, as you said before, is what you think and what you believe about the situation. It's
right.
So easy to not pay attention to spiritual things when everything is going great and when you're having a good day or a good span in your life. But when you are lost at sea and all you've got is what you believe, I want to be believing in the one that calms the sea. I want to be believing in the way in Noah. I want to be believing in lemonade, baby. And it really is, as you said, faith is a decision that you make. It's a determination
right.
to go with God or to stand in what you know, no matter what. And that is unwavering. Faith is not just when you don't have to exercise it. It's a decision you make. It's a muscle you build, and you don't build anything without being tested, and overcoming doubt as well. Again, are you going to believe in the situation? Are you going to believe in the negativity? Are you going to believe in the odds? Or are you going to believe in yourself? Are you going to believe in something bigger and greater and better than you, which says that you can overcome this? In my reading today, it was Resurrection into the Light, talking about Resurrection Sunday. And this, you don't have to believe in God, but I'm certainly not mad at you if you do. You don't have to believe in God to choose today to overcome the stories that we tell about ourselves, to overcome our fears and our doubts and all of those things, to roll the rock aside and step out into the light of who you are and what you are and whose you are and what that means. It's miraculous.
It definitely is. It definitely is. The second point that I have is unwavering positioning. And here's a second part of the devotion from April 1st. It says, in fierce storms, said an old seaman, we must do one thing. There is only one way. We must put the ship in a certain position and keep it there. This, Christian, is what you must do. Sometimes you can neither see sun nor stars, and no small tempest lies on you. And then you can do but one thing. There is only one way. Reason cannot help you. Past experiences give you no likes, like what you were just saying, Cassandra. Even prayer fetches no consolation. Only a single course is left. You must put your soul in one position and keep it there. You must stay upon the Lord, and come what may, be it winds, waves, cross seas, thunder, lightning, frowning rocks, roaring breakers, no matter what, you must lash yourself to the helm and hold fast your confidence in God's faithfulness, his covenant engagement, his everlasting love in Christ Jesus. Now, you know that's a mouthful right there. I think a lot of people mm-hmm. listening may have fallen off the ship listening to that because that's some holding on to your faith right there. But here's what I have to say about myself personally. When I got in the situations where make me feel all of that, where else would I go? Where else was I going to get some help? Well, there were times before my faith became what it needed to be that, we make other choices because we think they're available to us. We do try to reason some things out, or we make decisions about things we think would be the right answer and all kinds. You know, the list goes on about stuff we do to help ourselves or to help God help us. But I've been in some places where all I could do, I mean, it was just beyond reason, at least in my limited understanding at that time, beyond reason on how to get to where I needed to be or what I want or what I wanted. And it meant being still enough to not go searching frantically, to not causing yourself to have anxiety and anguish because you're looking for it in some invisible kind of way. Faith and positioning yourself with, like this passage just said, just position yourself in God's faithfulness. Now, here's the other question that always came up to me. Well, what does that mean, that I just don't do anything? And I would hear minister after minister say, well, just don't do anything. Just let God. Well, here's the thing. You've got to know that when you're trusting God's faithfulness, there will be times where you will get instructed or you will get a sign or you'll get a leading or somebody will show up and you'll know exactly what you're supposed to do with all of that information. But if you don't, you do need to, there are things I just had to wait totally upon God's rescue, period. There was nothing that I could do. And so, this whole faith exercise, I think, that we're doing today is to help us all. I mean, as I listen to myself, I hear my own learning that in ways that I had never even really verbalized before, but I understand so much now, and I'm so thankful. I think I told you at the beginning, I felt this compelling. Well, maybe the compelling was so that there could be some explaining of things that may have not been very clear to people about, particularly in this time we're in. I mean, how do you really understand it? You have to use faith. You know, so much loss of life and livelihood and daily functionings and all kinds of stuff have been lost. It takes a certain type of positioning. People are really out of whack and just not knowing how to wrap their mind around such issues. It's a challenge, and that's when you must find something such as faith to keep you positioned. To say that I have this confidence, like I also said, that we're going to get through this. And I can say that because I believe we will. I know we will. I mean, there have been things in life and around the world and that have happened that are that brought people and countries into critical condition, and they come out of it. Somehow they do. So we have to position ourselves in that place where regardless of what happens, like it says, come what may, winds, waves, cross seas, thunder, lightning, frowning rocks, roaring breakers, no matter what, lash yourself to the faith and confidence in God. Cassandra?
You know, I wrote down, be still and know. Mm-hmm. Being still is a difficult thing for some people to contemplate, but being still is no small thing, and it's written in Science of Mind, which is one of the books that I study, that it's amazing things that can come to the person who can practice stillness. Now, when I think about positioning, That too is a position of being still and knowing. And that is certainly preferable to running wild and going crazy and acting off of emotions and not clearly thinking things out, and thereby possibly creating more circumstances or things that you would have to get out of in the future. I don't have a problem with just being still. And like you say, you're not still forever. Oftentimes, if you really tap in, you're not still for long, because all of a sudden, something will make sense. All of a sudden, a phone call will come. All of a sudden, you'll get an email. All of a sudden, there will be something to do, and then there will be no doubt as to, is this the right thing? Should I do this? Should I follow this through? If you have, again, with unwavering faith and unwavering position, positioned yourself not to believe in circumstances, not to be blown away by the wind, but just be still and know. You know, Silver, you also talked about the overcoming of the things that have happened. If you look at it, we began to overcome this the moment it hit. We began to find ways of communicating, of corresponding, of doing business. Life insists. And so one can look at all of the loss and all the devastation. I choose to look at how we persisted and not only survived, but thrived throughout this whole pandemic. And I think that that's an amazing thing. It speaks to the human spirit. Yes, there was loss of life, and I certainly don't minimize that. But that happens every day, and that's not going to stop happening. None of us are getting out of this alive.
Right.
But when I look at we as a people handled this, oh, my God, and I can't, the innovative things and ways that we began to do when we could not do the things that we were used to doing, the things that we realized we didn't even care to do anymore, doing old things in a new way and doing new things and leaving a lot of stuff alone. I think it's amazing. And so as I look back, as I've said before, I look back at 2020 and I think it was interesting. It was amazing. And it didn't frighten me. And I am not frightened now because I know where my faith is placed. And when my faith, and I should say as my faith is rightly placed, I can look at anything. I don't have to like it. A lot of the stuff I see, I don't understand. But I say one thing, and you may have heard me say this, God, if it's cool with you, it's cool with me. I don't get it. I don't like it. But, hey, if it's cool with you, it's cool with me. Because to judge it and to become frustrated by it jacks up my present peace, my possibility of peace for things I cannot change.
That's true. That's true. Well, my last point, and it may be a quick one, I'm not sure, but it's unwavering love. In that piece that I just read to you last, it said that one of the things that we have to hold fast to is his everlasting love in Christ Jesus. And I wanted to say this about that. I went ahead and, not that I didn't understand what everlasting meant, but I wanted to look it up and attach some words to it that built it up some. And the definition said everlasting means lasting forever. It means endless. It means never ending. It means it never dies. And I thought, you know, how many of us have ever thought, well, God must not love me. You know, maybe he just doesn't love me. I see this happening for so-and-so, and, you know, you must love God more. Well, that's just beyond any lie that could be told. He loves us all the same. And that's a beautiful thing to remember. It's unwavering. If you see somebody succeeding in a way that you wish you would, that you wish you would, it's not because God loves them more. There may be some elements in the whole situation that you may not understand, but it never has anything to do with the fact that God loves them more. I've heard some people say about people they've lost and other people, you know, have the same situation, and they, well, it's not that. Understand me when I tell you, God loves you. And he loves you with an everlasting love, an unwavering love that does not change. want to encourage you to have that kind of love as well, because we think of God's love in a human way. And a lot of us have not experienced love in a way that maybe we could understand unconditional love from God. It doesn't matter. It's real. It's mind-boggling to me to think that it would not matter what kind of life you lived, how many awful things you may have done, how many terrible things that you've committed, and, you know, that God still loves you. But that's just the way it is. I had trouble with that at one point in my life, but I had to realize it's not about the person, it's about God's love. And that part of understanding him, I think, could help a lot of people maybe break free from where you are if you struggle with the understanding of your life and things that are going on, to put your confidence in that fact that you have this love. And I've heard people say they've experienced such immediate things when they actually acknowledge and accept the fact that God does love them. There is a reality. There's a spiritual dynamic. There's a supernatural part to all of this that is very real. And I just want to encourage anybody who may be struggling in that area to understand that God's love is not, you can't even put it on a human level, because, you know, we can be wishy-washy. We can love you one day and we not love you by the end of the day. I mean, our human love is fragile. It's frail. It's not always something we can unfortunately depend on when people say they do, and they may not. It depends on motives. I mean, that list goes on too. So don't compare it in any form, any fashion, any way. God's love is unwavering. God loves you. Yesterday, Fred Hammond said something I thought was really powerful. He talked about that there has been this invention, which is incredible, that you can sit in a room and it can actually capture 5 years of every conversation that's ever been had in that room. Now think about that. That's something, isn't it? But what God has said, it's just the waves of the resonance, that reality is all still there. He set everything in motion. He said he loves you, and it is unwavering. Nothing can change the fact that that is what it is. And I think, as I said earlier about people who don't believe, I'm not trying to persuade or convince you. What I am doing is hoping to break down some things in a way that it is necessary to be explained. You see, when I first got saved, it took years before I understood a lot of things, because nobody explained them well enough to me to really build my spiritual dynamic in a way to myself spiritually healthy enough to handle life in the way that I should. Made lots of mistakes as a result, because I often just took things for what they were, what was said to me, what was taught to me, what was preached to me, and not enough explanation. And a lot of that still goes on today in pulpits. But there's a learning that we can have, and that's why I enjoy what I do. I mean, I'm a natural born teacher. I mean, I love the whole dynamic of clarifying and imparting and sharing and empowering and all of that. So what I understand from what we're doing today, that's necessary that you do leave the show. I always talk about takeaways. So this is getting an understanding. That's what I feel is happening here. So God's love is everlasting. God's love is unwavering, and I hope that is something that you will have as a takeaway, that no matter what happens, it doesn't change, and it'll be there for you. Cassandra?
Yeah. I, in listening to you, I can certainly bring to mind sometimes when I doubted, and I doubted only because I didn't understand. And the word that comes to mind for me is unfathomable. And it's difficult for us to fathom that God is love, and the way God loves, and the nature of God, and that love for his children, for this world, because we can only see it through our own mind, through our own mentality. And so I would encourage you to love somebody, to try and love somebody. And I want to remind you that it's difficult to love somebody, if not impossible, to love somebody when you're judging them. But really just open your heart, remove the judgment, the doubt, and the fear, and see what's there. When you do that, you'll find that everybody is really okay exactly the way they are and where they are. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is a living thing, and nothing is permanent. But a lot of times, if you open up your heart and remove if we open our hearts and remove the judgment, the doubt, and the fear that we have around people and situations and see what's left, there is a light there. Again, we can only understand this through our own mentality. And so if we want to know what the love of God is like, try loving somebody and then multiply it by infinity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's beautiful. That's what it is. Definitely. Well, we have covered all three of the points, and I had promised we'd have a short show because it is a holiday and we got to get on with our holiday business, but I want to thank you. I want you to hang on for just a moment before you go, because I want to speak a prayer over anybody who is listening today. My first prayer is that we were able to say something that may have encouraged your heart about unwavering faith, unwavering positioning, and unwavering love. I just, again, want to remind you that Cassandra and I do this show because we really care about people and we really love people, and this is a way to talk to a lot of people, you know, that we don't get to see face to face. So I pray that you were blessed by the things that were said. And I'd like to speak another prayer over you. I pray for your hope, and I pray for your happiness. I pray for your peace and your prosperity today. I pray for healing, and I pray for whatever help you may need right now. I pray for the miracle that I know you're praying for and the miracle that you need. I pray for those of you who I know have dreams and hopes, and I've been there, and I pray that you will just continue to work on them and making the things happen in your life that you want to have happen. And I pray that you will trust God to help you stand in these times, to be resilient as you restore and rebuild your lives. And I pray that you will find the faith to begin whatever you need to begin. And I truly pray you don't give up hope. I pray you win. In Jesus' name. Cassandra, thank you very much for being with me today.
And happy Easter.
And all the
happy resurrection.
Thank you. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
And the rest of you, again, have an amazing Easter. Be good. Be blessed, be awesome, and stay safe out there.